The Chiefs Red Half Hour. Weekdays at 11:30 on Cody and Gold, 610 Sports Radio, KCSB Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Sunday, fantasy football Sunday, that is. Quentin, Dusty with you today on 610 Sports Radio until 9, well, it's until 10 o'clock. Still not used to this whole time change thing here. Last week we had it off. Obviously that game was at 8:30 in the morning. There is a game going on right now. Jonathan Taylor just scored a touchdown for you Indianapolis Colts supporters. Or if you're watching this game to see if Bill Belichick gets ran out of New England after that. I don't know if there's any promises to that, but I do know that it is a supposed must-win game for the New England Patriots. Boy, times are different in New England. Don't forget, there is a ton of teams on byes this week. Dolphins, Chiefs, Philadelphia, Los Angeles Rams. So a lot of players out today that probably normally fill your rosters, so make sure you're listening to this until 10 o'clock. Obviously, at 10 o'clock, we'll start into the after-hours edition of a Sunday afternoon or an early Sunday morning. For those of you wondering about Justin Jefferson, officially downgraded as out for today's game against the Saints. James Conner is officially back from IR and should be good to go against the should be able to go against the Falcons. Also, with T. Higgins out, Jamar Chase questionable, the Bengals have elevated Shedrick Jackson and Stanley Morgan. But don't worry about that. We'll tell you what to do with that whole situation. Not sure what's going on with Michael Thomas. I know there was a battery incident of somebody parking their car outside of his house and they threw a brick through their windshield. So we'll keep an eye on that, monitor that, what the Saints are going to do. And Curtis Samuel back for the Commanders. As well. So just keep your ears penned to this radio station. We'll keep you all the way updated until 10 p.m. But Quentin, as we do every single day, let's get into some matchups. It is week 10. No Chiefs, no Philly, no Rams, no Dolphins. So there's a lot of players out. So no Tyreek Hill, no A.J. Brown, no Isaiah Pacheco, no Travis Kelce. We know where he's at. Right? That might lead the damn show at 10 o'clock. Don't cry for me, Argentina. She's changing words to songs. She's kissing him on the stage. It's love, baby. But we'll get into that around 10 o'clock on After Hours. But the first game today at noon, Green Bay at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is -3.5 in this game. What a terrible game to start fantasy football off with two not very attractive teams. Look, Pittsburgh's running back situation might be the most frustrating situation for running backs in the entire league. For those of you that like to play Najee Harris and then Ty Warren takes over, for those of you that like to play Warren and then Harris takes over, it's become an untrusted backfield and too tough to call, but it's a tough bye this week. So if you have a guy like A-Chain who you've waited to come back from IR, if you got a guy like Raheem Mostert, Isaiah Pacheco, right? They're not playing, you're kind of handcuffed, and you got to pick one of these guys, Harris or Warren. Obviously, I think you have to lean towards Najee Harris because Green Bay gives up 124 yards a game on the ground. If you have to pick one, I think you have to lean towards Najee Harris. Green Bay also gives up 199 air yards. I don't know what the situation's like with George Pickens. I know somebody was unfair this week and compared him to the Antonio Brown situation when he was in Pittsburgh. That's a little unfair for me. I don't think that's the way that you can honestly call this thing because I don't think that's the situation it is. But It would appear that Kenny Pickett and Deontay Johnson are on the same page, on the same field at the same time, and that's his number one wide receiver. Number one option, number one target. I feel like Deontay Johnson and Kenny Pickett are both on the same page. I don't think George Pickens is on the same page with Kenny Pickett. As for Green Bay, I really only like Watson. Aaron Jones for Green Bay this week. Steelers are 29th in the league, giving up 133 on the ground to running backs. Jones had 20 carries last week. Dillon had 9. As long as Aaron Jones is healthy, A.J. Dillon is not going to get the ball. And I know that frustrates a lot of you because Aaron Jones was out for quite a few games this year. But I will say this, 20 carries to 9, that's 2-1. I don't think A.J. Dillon's their guy. Running back one is Aaron Jones, and I like him this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Moving on to another new matchup, New Orleans at Minnesota. Sneaky kind of good game, right? New Orleans -3 in this one at Minnesota. I do like Minnesota +3 in this game. Why? They're a three-point home dog. I love home dogs. Just like, oh, I don't know, who was it? Missouri yesterday was a three-point home dog. How you doing? Anyways, no Justin Jefferson. So for all of you sneaky fun Jordan Addison lovers that had him on your team, that had him pocketed on your roster to see what might happen with Justin Jefferson, you get one more week. You get one more week with Jordan Addison because the last 3 weeks he's had seven catches, and 5 catches and a total of 3 touchdowns and 257 total yards. The dude is simply balling out without Justin Jefferson. And here's a weird stat. With Justin Jefferson, the Vikings were 1-4. Without him, they're 4-0. That's so insane to me.
That's football, baby.
That's just NFL's parody 101, right? So Jordan Addison, this is your last week that he's going to be electric, that he's going to be the wide receiver one with Josh Dobbs. And then once Justin Jefferson gets back, you can see that that will shift to the other side of the field. Also, TJ Hockenson had a rib injury this week. He's going to play. Even at the ribs, Romeo Dobbs is going to find him, and he will be a tight end one once again, put up numbers, have the catches, have the yardage. When you move over to the New Orleans Saints side of the field, obviously you play Chris Olave, Alvin Kamara. What's weird about Alvin Kamara is he's almost not even a running back anymore. He's just a wide receiver, right? He may not run a lot, but he gets a lot of catches, and you love that in a PPR league. 20 catches in his last 3 games, if I'm being honest, 20 for Alvin Kamara. And his last 3 games. In fact, he missed 4 games on the year. He's 2nd on the team in receptions, and he's only 7 behind Olave. Yeah. And you know Derek Carr, he likes to check down. But in the last 3 games, only 2 touchdowns. So let's see that number hopefully go up against Minnesota, who does give up touchdowns against running backs. Hopefully New Orleans Saints and Derek Carr can get that rolling. Taysom Hill's kind of a flex, right? He's kind of an option if you're low on tight ends or you're low on a wide receiver 3 or whatever that might be. I apologize, I had to sneeze. But that number could double for Alvin Kamara with 2 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. He could have 2 touchdowns today and completely light up the scoreboard. The over-under is 40.5 in this game. I got a feeling that game is going to go over 40.5. This could be a sloppy, good, entertaining game in your noon slot with New Orleans versus Minnesota. When you move on, you get into the Houston and the Cincinnati Bengals game. I'm interested. I'm going to have my eyes on this one. Obviously, my eyes will be locked in on Red Zone with Scott Hansen, but this is a game that's interesting. Cincinnati currently is a 6.5-point favorite. Now, we mentioned earlier in the broadcast that Ja'Marr Chase is questionable. I think he's going to play. He has that back injury where he fell on his back against the Buffalo Bills in that game where Chris Collinsworth was like, that's going to hurt in the morning and that might linger. Well, Chris Collinsworth is pretty accurate and pretty right about that injury because that is something that will happen. I'm worried about Ja'Marr Chase. I think it's one of those injuries where it might feel good today. He might have had the masseuse, you know, soften it up, make sure it's good to go, but it takes one hit in a really questionable area on the body, which is that lower back, that anything can shift it. T. Higgins is already out of this game, right? A lot of injuries in this game, but I think this is one of those games where you might have to trust Joe Burrow. I don't think they're going to run the ball. I think they're just going to let Joe Burrow throw it. If he's going to throw it, he could have a wide receiver one in Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd is a very sexy stream this week. There's a lot of wide receiver ones out. Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, so on and so forth. Tyler Boyd could be a sneaky play this week in a flex or a wide receiver too because there is no T. Higgins. And if Ja'Marr Chase does go out, he will be elevated to that wide receiver one. But that's the thing. I think Chase will probably try to play as much as he can this game in Houston, a team that gives up 240 yards in the air. Somebody's got to catch those net yards. If Jamar Chase goes out because his back acts up and T. Higgins already not playing, somebody's got to be that man. That man could be Tyler Boyd. As for the other side, I don't know how many of you drafted C.J. Stroud. Give yourself an applause. Pat yourself on the back. You've got your quarterback for the entire year. C.J. Stroud is that dude. He's a stud. No Nico Collins, though, but you still have Dalton Schultz, who showed up big time last week with 10 catches for 130, and Noah Brown as well, who had 6 for 153. I also kind of think Tank Dell is a guy that maybe I don't start, but maybe you stash him on your roster to see how they use him, to see what lingers with this Nico Collins injury. But Noah Brown, 6 for 153 last week. Tank Dell, also a guy that had a good game last week and maybe stream this week or stash with wide receiver ones on bye weeks. Damian Pierce is out due to injury, which means Singletary is going to play. I think Singletary is a guy that you could probably put in your roster today and actually put in a starter as an RB2 or a flex if you're really low on running backs, which some of you are. Not everybody has a solid running back team where you only have one. Damian Pierce is a guy that's out and Singletary in. And guess what? Cincinnati, if they have a vulnerable spot, it's their defensive run game. They have 130 ground yards. That's best for 27th in the NFL. So I like C.J. Stroud. I like Singletary. And I like Dalton Schultz. Last one before we go to a break. Cleveland at Baltimore. The highest scoring thing in this game today might be Baltimore's defense. Baltimore minus 6.5 against the divisional foe, the Cleveland Browns. Here's the thing. Baltimore's defense should do very well today. There are three starting offensive linemen out for Cleveland. Deshaun Watson's going to be running for his life, as he should. That guy sucks. But here's the thing. Three offensive linemen out against the best defense in the NFL when it comes to pressures on quarterback and sacks. Baltimore Ravens get... They have 34 sacks in the season. That is number one in the NFL. Number two is the Kansas City Chiefs with 31. They're in a bye. Baltimore's defense should be a very, very, well, valuable asset today on your teams. Lamar Jackson's a must-play. Odell Beckham Jr., I think, has found the connection with Lamar Jackson, and that's beautiful to see for those of you that took a flyer on OBJ. Zay Flowers, I think last week was a dud, but I think this week he gets past that. And I think you should obviously keep riding the Gus bus as well. He's had 6 touchdowns in 3 weeks. I'm going to say that one more time for you. Gus Edwards has 6 touchdowns in 3 weeks. I think they'll use him as well today against a defense that's very, very good on the Cleveland side of the ball. And if you're not going to be able to, you know, sit back and throw it because Myles Garrett is a man and in your face, what's the best way to get him honest? Run the ball. What have Baltimore done the last 2 weeks very well? Run the ball with Gus Edwards, who, again, has 6 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. Look for Ford to be the guy over Kareem Hunt moving forward with the Cleveland Brown offense. It's pretty evidently clear what they're doing. They're not giving the ball to Kareem Hunt. They're giving it to Ford. He catches more. He rushes more. End of story. Kareem Hunt is not the guy, nor will he ever be. Amari Cooper last week with Deshaun Watson getting back in the roster is the kind of action we wanted to see from Amari Cooper. 5 for 139 last week. So as long as Deshaun Watson is back, Coop is your guy, but with that offensive line banked up, I have a little bit of questions today for the Cleveland Browns. That is just half of the noon slate. You are listening to the Fantasy Football Show on Sunday here on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Quentin, Dusty, like as we get back with the rest of your noon games here on 610 Sports Radio. Tell them, Bond. We're back here on 610 Sports Radio, a Fantasy Football Sunday brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Hope you're having a good Sunday. It's, God, it's beautiful outside. So nice outside. We'll get into some NFL action today. Colts in New England already playing. I don't know if you saw this, Quentin. They did a... what do you call those? Time-lapse of the dome being folded up in Germany, and then it goes right into the scoreboard.
Really?
Yeah, the Germans are pretty good with the technology, but just like the infrastructure of like how to do things.
Well, they talked about last week how their field is like half synthetic or something like that.
Yeah, it's like a hybrid.
Yeah, which I had never heard of that before. It's like maybe that's something that you know, football stadiums should look into, so you can, you know, maybe find sort of a halfway mark from switching to grass into the turf.
Yeah. Better on the feet. We'll get into the news today out of the college football world. Texas A&M expected to fire Jimbo Fisher and what that means for a lot of coaches out there. There's one name that's really intriguing when I think about it, but his buyout, by the way, is $77 million. I would love to get fired for $70 million.
Where can I send my application?
Yeah, dude.
You want to be my assistant?
That's called leverage when you get hired. Hey, I'm going to be good, but if I'm not, you guys can fire me, but it's going to cost you some money, like Josh McDaniel, who got $40 million to get fired in Vegas. Hey, guys, I'm fired. I'm no longer the coach of the Vegas Raiders, but it's fine. We're going to be all right. Let's dive into some more matchups. That's the best thing about this show is that coming up on the other side, we will dive into a lot more when it comes to sports radio talk, as we will, we'll do it for you. We'll keep you going. We'll keep you in the loop. Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, it took a different level. But it is Fantasy Football Sunday here on ESPN. I do that every week here on 610 Sports Radio. The next game on our list is Tennessee and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, a -3 favorite at home against the Will Levis Mayo drinking coffee freak that he is. Very, very strong kid. But I don't know if he's got it all yet as a quarterback, as he is now the starter over Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill took that very professionally. And they're moving forward with Will Levis in Tennessee. But I do love Baker Mayfield this week. The last 3 weeks, he's had 5 touchdowns and thrown for over 235 yards in each game with only 1 interception. 1 for Baker Mayfield. And last week, it was a C.J. Stroud-Baker Mayfield battle, that we saw that game end as it took over all of your red zone action. Good to see Chiefs fans still lingering in Germany as they're wearing their beanies and their jerseys for a Colts-Patriots game. Praise God. But anyways, love Baker Mayfield this week. Tennessee gives over, gives up to 223 to 230 yards in the air per week. I like Baker Mayfield throwing the ball this week. He's got Mike Evans. He's got Chris Godwin. You're obviously playing those guys. Rashard White, obviously you're going to play him too. Tennessee is 19th in the league versus the run, giving up 115 a game. That's a solid number, and I can see them giving Rashard White the ball quite often to set up Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I also think Mike Evans is good for an anytime touchdown today, and I like Chris Godwin's over when it comes to receptions of 4.5. Play Baker this week. If you're a guy that's got Tua or Patrick Mahomes, or you're a gal that has Jalen Hurts or Matthew Stafford, and you're looking for an option at quarterback, I don't think Baker's a bad idea to stream this week. I don't like Will Levis because I like Tampa Bay's defense, but you're probably still playing DeAndre Hopkins. You're probably going to play Derrick Henry. Tajay Spears is kind of an interesting stash, right? I don't know what Derrick Henry's end game is. I know he's in the top 3 in rushing yards in the NFL. He's still that dude. But Tajay Spears has come up a lot in fantasy football leagues, full-point PPRs. Look, I think he's a stash and watch and see how he's going to do because he seems to be their catching running back, not Derrick Henry, but I don't see them doing very much on the ground against Tampa Bay. But Tampa Bay could get out to an early lead, which means they're going to have to throw the ball to some people, DeAndre Hopkins and Tajay Spears. So look for that number to rise up. And if he is that guy that's going to catch the ball in the backfield and Tennessee is going to ride this Will Levis train, then maybe keep an eye on Tajay Spears and they start using him as a check down running back because they'll be losing a lot of games. But again, we know what the Tampa Bay can do is they are 9th in the league when it comes to the running defense. Nobody runs on Tampa. Moving on, my all juice matchup of the day. This is the one that we dedicate to the late and great Terrez Paylor. Our all juice matchup today is San Francisco at Jacksonville. What did I tell you earlier in the show? I love home dogs. I love home dogs. And Jacksonville is +3, San Francisco favored. This is the something has to give game, right? This is that something has to give. Jacksonville has won 6 straight. They lost 2 in a row. They lost to Kansas City in week 2. They lost to the C.J. Stroud Texans in week 3. They've yet to lose since. On the other side, San Francisco has dropped 3 straight, and they're coming off the bye. And guess who's back? Deebo Samuel is back. Couldn't have came at a better time. You dropped 3 games in a row. You're playing a Jacksonville team that's going to give up some points. Deebo Samuel finally back. Sorry for those of you that are Brandon Ayuk owners who have been loving the absence of a guy like Deebo Samuel, but you have to think we may see that old San Francisco offense get reincorporated today against Jacksonville. I see this game being a shootout. Maybe I'm wrong. I get it. San Francisco's defense is really, really good. It's kind of different, though. They just don't give up a lot of points, but they give up a lot of yards, and they get a lot of sacks. I know that makes no sense to me or no sense to anybody else. They don't give up the touchdown. They give up field goals. They give up a lot of yards. They basically bend, but they don't break. But maybe we'll see that offense if San Francisco's get back since they're all healthy and all ready to play. Play all the key guys and hope that we see the old Brock Purdy back as well. Right? I know Purdy's kind of started out hot. A lot of people wanted to give him the MVP award. Then he came right back down to earth. And everybody said, okay. Maybe he is Mr. Irrelevant from Iowa State. And maybe we should pump the brakes and think about things in a little bit more of a perspective than that. But again, something has to give. Like I said, Jacksonville has won six games in a row and San Francisco's dropped their last three. This is why this is the all-juice game. Here's what's interesting about Jacksonville. We thought Christian Kirk, or we thought Cal Ridley was going to be the guy. In fact, it's not. It's been Christian Kirk. Calvin Ridley is third on the team in receptions, and he only has two touchdowns. Christian Kirk has three and seems to be Trevor Lawrence's favorite wide receiver. They paid him a lot of money for some reason, and now we're kind of figuring out why. When it comes to reception leaders for Jacksonville, it's Evan Engram, Christian Kirk, Cal Ridley, right? Evan Engram, look for him to get a lot of action today on quick routes because you're going to see that defensive line for the San Francisco 49ers that now has Chase Young, now has Nick Bosa. Also, they're just always destructive, and they're going to get into the face of Trevor Lawrence. He's the kind of guy that's going to move outside, try to get shifting. He's going to throw it quick. Who's he going to throw it to? Probably Evan Engram, probably Christian Kirk, and then look at Cal Ridley. I know it's frustrating, but again, Etienne, another guy that you have to have. He's just been a force all year. Travis Etienne, the running back this year that I thought he was going to be last year. Even if San Francisco is fifth in the league versus the run, I also, you know, San Francisco's 19th in the league against the pass. That's what I'm saying. They're a great defense, but they have flaws. They give up passing yards. They don't give up running yards. When they give up passing yards, they give up a lot. But again, Christian Kirk is averaging 65 a game, whereas Calvin Ridley is averaging 56 a game. I think you have to look at Christian Kirk before you look at Calvin Ridley when it comes to that Jacksonville offense. It's funky. I get it, but it is what it is. New England, Indianapolis, 7-3. Jonathan Taylor has a touchdown. That's the only action in that game. When it comes to your early action in Germany. On the other side, we'll flip into what is the 3 o'clock matchups. Don't forget, we'll answer your questions at the end for any lineup questions you have. 913-586-7610. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. And this is a Fantasy Football Sunday show brought to you by Twin Peaks. Each drinks scenic views. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Quentin. On the other side, we get into the 3 o'clock games for your fantasy football slate here on 610 Sports Radio. No lies there from the band of ZZ Top. Women do like a sharp-dressed man.
I wish it was socially appropriate to wear my suit more often.
Why not? Why can't you?
I don't know, because it'd be kind of weird. There are certain places that you just can't go in a suit.
Yeah. I was on Fox 4 television one time, and I wore a suit to the studio.
Uh-huh.
Just to be funny. And then when I showed up, they're like, oh, why are you wearing a suit? And I was like, I thought I was applying for an anchor position and just kind of messed with everybody. We'll see if we get back on that television screen in a few weeks. Should, for spoiler alerts. But you are listening to a Fantasy Football Sunday show here on 610 Sports Radio. Dusty Likens with you, Quentin with you as well. From 10 to noon, we'll get into After Hours Sunday morning edition. We're off on Monday, but don't forget, Monday, the bye week is officially over, and we get into the Philadelphia week, which is 7:30 DJ. Remember him, Derek Johnson? He joins Gage Fesco in the morning at 7:30. Andy Reid's press conference at noon. Patrick Mahomes at 3:10 on the drive with Carrington Harrison, followed up by Mitch Holtis, the voice of those Kansas City Chiefs, at 4 o'clock on the drive. But again, to continue the 3 o'clock matchups, let's do it. I don't know how I feel about this game because I feel like it's going to let us down, but I also feel like it could be one of those games that at the end of the day at like 5:30, 6 o'clock, you're going, man, this is electric, and that is Detroit at Los Angeles Chargers. The Detroit Lions carry a 3-point plus side favorite. I know that sounds kind of contradicting, but the Lions are favorites in this game by 3 in Los Angeles. I love me some Jahmyr Gibbs this week. And a lot of the offensive guys on the Detroit Lions. Look, it is no secret that the Chargers are one of the worst defensive teams in the league, if not the worst. Oh, and their head coach, Brandon Staley, yeah, he's a defensive coordinator. More reason to get fired. But I see this also possibly being a shootout. I'm going to lean towards that, that it's going to be a shootout between the Lions and the Chargers. Jared Goff versus Justin Herbert. I like Jahmyr Gibbs. Obviously, I love Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown. They should eat the Chargers up because they're the worst team versus the pass. And with big QBs out, I think Goff is a must start this week. Also, the Chargers give up 403 total yards a game. And we know this this offense for the Detroit Lions can actually hang with all the big boys. I love Gibbs. I love Laporta. I love St. Brown. I love Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff is a must start with Hurts, Mahomes, Stafford, and Tua all out this week on bye weeks. Jared Goff, shoot, he might be a starter no matter what, whenever you want him, because I know he's mine. If guys like Justin Fields are a miss this year and Jared Goff has, well, surprisingly saved you. Last 2 weeks for Keenan Allen, been pretty good. 8 catches in both those games, but no touchdowns. Again, I said this is going to be one of those big score games. Look for Keenan Allen to finally get some pay dirt respect and get a touchdown this week because, well, he needs his reward. Keenan Allen, one of the greatest catches I've seen in an NFL game last week on the sidelines. This week, I look for Keenan Allen to get into the end zone. Also, Austin Eckler, Josh Kelly. I know Austin Eckler missed a couple of games due to injury, and Josh Kelly's still their leading rusher when it comes to yards and attempts in a game. It's weird. Austin Eckler ought to get there. But Detroit, here's the weird thing. Detroit only gives up 76 yards on the ground. So, sneakily good defensive line. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson anchors that thing. But Detroit only giving up 76. I don't really like the running backs for the Chargers, but I like Austin Eckler as a pass-catching option because, again, I think this game is going to be somewhere around like 35-29. Something like that. A lot of points. The over hits. A lot of action. This week, you got to play Josh Palmer. You got to play Keenan Allen. You got to play Austin Eckler. You got to play Justin Herbert. And again, you got to play Ross St. Brown. You got to play Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Jared Goff. All must starts for the Detroit Lions in this game. Moving on, Arizona and Atlanta. Atlanta is at Arizona, and Atlanta is a 2-point favorite. Can I have a little quick second here real quick? I don't ever want anyone to lose their job. I don't ever want bad things to happen to people that I don't know. I hope Atlanta fires their head coach. I hate this man. Hate is a strong word. The Lord above, please forgive me on this wonderful, beautiful Sunday. I'm not a bad person, but please, please let Arthur Blank fire this guy. I've never seen anything more frustrating in my life. I hate people that think they're smarter than everybody else in the room when really they're just an imbecile, dumb idiot like the Atlanta head coach is. They don't use Bijan Robinson. They don't use Kyle Pitts. They played Desmond Ridder way too long, and now they let Taylor Heinicke play. What is wrong with this man? Not only does he a creep with that mustache and finally shaved it, not only does he not know how to answer questions with the media, and they're not tough questions. They're literally like, why is Bijan Robinson not being able to get used into this offense? Why is Bijan Robinson not able to get the ball inside the five? In fact, he's only had it one time inside the five, 9 weeks. Well, you know, we're experiencing things on the offense, trying to figure out. No, you're not. You're giving the ball to Allegier every single play. He's not your running back that you drafted in the top 10 of the first round this year in the NFL draft. I know everybody wants to give up on Kyle Pitts. Everyone's like, oh, he screwed my fantasy team the last 2 years. It ain't Kyle Pitts doing it. It's the guy calling the plays who thinks he knows what he's doing, and he's not. They need to fire him. They need to get him out of there or let him lose control out of the offense because it ain't working. And now all of a sudden, what are we seeing on fantasy football and all these guys? Look for Bijan Robinson to have a really big game. You think? The guy's one of the most talented players in the league, and they don't use him because the guy thinks he can win with Terry Allegier. I don't even know how to say his name nor spell it. Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson. Give him the damn ball. All right. On the other side, a little bit, but I feel a lot better when he's fired. Just watch the Atlanta Falcons. They ought to be one of the best teams in football. Look at all their team statistics. Top 5 in the NFC in defense. top five in yards allowed a game. They're just, they're really, really, really good.
I had them winning their division, and it sucks because Kyle Pitts coming out of college was the most athletic tight end coming out. Bijan Robinson was that guy coming out of college, and you're just sitting on him.
No, they're still that guy.
I know, they are. But so, you're just sitting
so
on him.
You're with me. You don't like this. You don't like this.
No, nobody who watches football was like, I'm so happy that Kyle Pitts isn't being used.
Yeah, I love Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
Who got released by the Tennessee Titans. Yeah. God, that guy sucks. Anyways, Call of Duty Modern Warfare came out this week. Guess who's back? Kyler Murray. Ironic? I don't know. But he's back this week, and he's starting. Here's the thing about Kyler Murray. I really, 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 really want to start him this week, but I'm not going to. I picked up Kyler Murray 2 weeks in my fantasy league, and I thought to myself, maybe there's a chance we see that Kyler Murray that played the first 6 weeks of the season as an MVP candidate 2 years ago, and we see those running yards come up as a quarterback, and we see Kyler Murray kind of look like that guy again. But there's one ray of hope, right? James Conner's back, Kyler Murray's back, and Rondell Moore gets his quarterback. If that's the case, and they can really kind of get back into that flow of what that offense was, Kyler Murray can be a decent streaming option week in and week out if one of your quarterbacks that you always play has a tough matchup, right? Like if one of your quarterbacks, like Joe Burrow, has to play the Baltimore Ravens next Thursday, a doozy of a game on Thursday night against a good defense, you're like, you know what? Kyler Murray did actually good this week, last week against Atlanta, who has a pretty good defense. But Kyler Murray being back, I want to start him, but I'm going to stash him. If you're going to start him, I'd love to see it. I'd like to see you take a picture of your lineup and send it to me at Dusty Likens on Twitter, and I'll give you some respect. But Rondell Moore ought to be back, too, because his guy's back. And I know if there's one guy that's glad to see Kyler Murray back, it's Rondell Moore. Also, Connor back as well off IR. Look for him to get going against this Atlanta team that does tend to give up rushing yards. For Atlanta, man, I mean, it is what it is. You just have a bag of a head coach. One touch inside the five for Bijan Robinson. You know what he did? He caught the ball behind his back and ran into the end zone. We all remember that play that they did the zoom from above, and he got the ball on the side of his hip, took it behind his back, put it back into his left arm, and then scored. Yeah, they saw that, and then he went, eh. I don't know if we're going to do that anymore. I spent way too much time dissing the head coach. But again, Bijan Robinson, you have to start him. A lot of insiders and a lot of people said that he's supposed to get an uptick in his workload, so we'll see if they actually bring that to fruition as well. But Arthur Blank, you need to fire old boy in Atlanta because he ain't my guy. You know I don't like it when I call you old boy. I refuse to call you by your name, and I call you old boy. You got to go. Moving on out of that matchup of Arizona-Atlanta. In 3 o'clock matchups, we move on to another game, Washington at Seattle. I like this game for Seattle. I believe they are a 6-point favorite. They are, but it's a return game for Seattle. Kenny Walker, I look for him to have a lot of rushing yards in this game. Also, they activated their rookie, Kenny McIntosh, I think is how you say his name. Pretty sure that's how you say it. He's the rookie, had the knee injury in August. He's back. You know Pete Carroll's going to mix up his running backs and see which one has the better hand that week. Obviously, Kenneth Walker's been the guy all year, and last year he's their RB1. They're going to keep using them. But McIntosh, he's the kind of guy that can give you that sort of spurt. I think if you have room on your roster, or there's a guy that maybe you've never used all year and you want to put him on your roster to see if anything's good, because I know Kenny Walker has had injury problems in the past. Seattle, a run-first team, they're going to do those kind of things. You can look at him. Curtis Samuel's back for the Washington Commanders. Scary Terry's a must-start. Sam Howell, I don't know where you're at in quarterback. I would probably not start Sam Howell this week. Seattle got blown out last week against Baltimore. I look for them to bounce back this week. I also like Seattle's defense this week because Washington turns the ball over. Washington's offensive line is terrible. Look for Seattle to get 2 to 3 sacks in this game in the first half. Also, look for them to get an interception and a possibility of a defensive score. I love the Ravens defense this week. I also love Seattle's defense this week against a beat-up and not-so-good Washington Commanders team. But again, Sam Howell versus that defense, it could be a mess. But I like Brian Robinson week in and week out. I like Scary Terry as well for the Washington Commanders. Moving on to the other game, Giants at Dallas. Quentin, you want to take a guess what this spread is against the Giants in the Dallas game?
Easy double digits.
Yeah, very easy. Almost triple.
Almost. Whoa.
Not
really?
Kidding.
Oh, my God.
Dallas,
I don't know.
Dallas is 15? Dallas is 17-point favorites. So we know what's going to happen now, right?
That the Giants are going to win the game?
They're either going to win the game or they're going to cover this game, and it's not even be close to where you can almost tease. You can almost tease the Giants plus three.
Honestly, though?
Yeah.
Anytime you see a spread that big, this is
always
the NFL.
Go against it.
You really should.
Mm-hmm. And this is what the thing is. Dallas plays really good against bad teams. You're starting everybody that's a normal starter for Dallas, right? You're starting Dak Prescott. You're starting CeeDee Lamb, who's been a stud this year. You're starting Tony Pollard. You're starting your guys there. For the Giants, Saquon Barkley, Darren Waller, probably not going to play this week. Not going to start him. Stay away from him. DeVito, absolutely not. There's only one player I would start for the Giants, Saquon Barkley. Why? Because you have to. You can't really go against Saquon Barkley. You drafted him too high. He gives up too much volume to put him on the bench. But again, Dallas, 17-point favorites. You know Dallas is not covering that 17. If they do, I'll do the show Tuesday night shirtless. You can mark that and play it if Dallas covers by 17. I don't think they will, because I just think that game's going to be just, well, it's a division game, 17 points. That ain't going that well. Moving on to the other late night game. This is all right. That's your Sunday night. This is your Sunday night football game. That was your 325 game. This is your Sunday night football game. Jets at Vegas. As of yesterday, the Las Vegas Raiders were 1-point underdogs at home. Jets were the 1-point favorite. That's right. Zach Wilson going into Vegas as a favorite. For the Jets, Breece Hall, love him. Garrett Wilson, like him. All that's good on the table. Not against it. For the Raiders, Davante Adams, we'll see if they can continue that streak going forward with Aiden O'Connell. Obviously, Josh Jacobs, Davante Adams. Outside of that, this game doesn't seem very good, because this game seems like one of those games that'll be 17-10 final score, because both defenses are all right. Jets defense, start them. Raiders defense, start them. The most points they're probably going to give up is like 20. That should still be a solid day for your defense, get you that 8-10 points, because both teams are going to get sacks. Both quarterbacks hold onto the ball too much. Both quarterbacks are going to throw an interception this game. One of these defenses is going to have a defensive scoring touchdown. I can guarantee you that. So keep your eye on those defenses. But Jets, Vegas, that's your Sunday night football game. Oh, but wait, it gets better. What's your Monday night football action? Denver at Buffalo. Denver at Buffalo. There's a lot of people that really like Denver plus 7 this week. Buffalo's a 7-point favorite. A lot of people like Denver. You're seeing the shift in the belief that is people believing in Buffalo that's starting to go away. And people are starting to ride this Denver team that they think is surging, because they beat the Chiefs in a very sloppy way, 24-9. Excuse me. But they beat the Chiefs 24-9. Here's the difference in that game, right? The Chiefs turned the ball over 5 times in that game. Buffalo, they turned the ball over, but not 5 times. Josh Allen, probably going to throw a pick. That's good every week. But the thing is, Buffalo looks like they might be upset. Stephon Diggs, stud. Got to play him. Gabe Davis, probably ought to play him, because he's not going to be on Patrick Surtain Jr. Outside of that, Josh Allen, yes. Cook, I don't think so. Denver, Russell Wilson, get lost. Cortland Sutton, get lost. Jerry Jeudy, maybe. But outside of that, I don't like that. Also, I do like Dalton Kincaid this week, because Denver's defensive secondary is good, but their linebackers, suspect. That is the entire slate of Sunday into Monday on a Fantasy Football Week 10 edition. Coming up on the other side, we'll get into your questions. 913-586-7610. Ask me what you need. We get you set up for your lineups as we get close to the halftime. Score is 7-3, New England and Indianapolis. Indianapolis with the lead. For Quentin, I'm Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fantasy Football Sunday on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Heart attack, tech, 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 tech. Heart attack, you want to know by now. Final segment here on a Fantasy Football Sunday show. Dusty Likens with you as the Indianapolis Colts look to kick a 57-yard field goal before they go into halftime to go up a full 7 points on the New England Patriots. Somebody on the text line, 913-586-7610. I love that you and McAfee spread positive vibes. The world is negative enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Exclude for asking the coach to get fired, but whatever.
Yeah, but that's not a world problem. That's like a you problem. Like, I want him to get fired in Atlanta because I don't like old boy. But that's not me saying, like, I hope everybody gets in a car wreck. I would never want that, right? I want you to go be a nice person, open the door for somebody. We always do at the end of every show. We'll do it today as well. 913-586-7610 for all of your questions today for fantasy football. From the 480, grade my trade. I give up Devontae Adams and receive Bijan Robinson. We'll find out today. We'll find out today what happens with that trade. Reasoning why I say that is it's tough to grade at this point because I will say this. Devontae Adams, you would think, is going to have an uptick in production with Aiden O'Connell instead of Jimmy Garoppolo. The way that he's been reacting to the hire of Antonio Pierce seems to be a positive way at that. And if he can continue to keep those vibes going, then Devontae Adams is going to be successful. If old boy in Atlanta can finally get it going and start to figure out what he needs to do as a, well, as someone who can really put the trust in his actual playmaker's hands, then Bijan Robinson should start to have an uptick in production because it's only going to take one game. Right, it's going to take one game where they give Bijan Robinson 15 to 20 carries and 5 to 7 targets in the passing game and to realize that what that kid did for Missouri yesterday is kind of what Bijan Robinson could do for the Atlanta Falcons. He gives me a lot of kind of like not Christian McCaffrey vibes because that's unfair, but Bijan Robinson could be that type of guy. If they would just use him, he's very exceptionally well off when it comes to catching out of the backfield. And he has explosive speed, and he can make guys miss with how shifty that he is. So can't really grade the trade right now. I like it. I'm glad that you were able to make a trade in your league because I don't know about anybody else out there. Why does everybody hold on to their fantasy football players as if they actually know the people? As if they're actually a real head coach? Like you try to trade anybody. And I get it. You're not going to get a good trade. More often than not, you're always going to have those idiots in your league. They're going to be like, I'm going to trade you Raheem Mostert, but I want Christian McCaffrey, and I want – it's like, no. If it's a decent trade and people won't do it, your league sucks like my league. Nobody wants to trade anybody in our leagues, ever. It's like you drafted these guys and you won't even have them next year. Why don't you try to get funky if you're 3-5 or 3-6 and you're trying to make a move with somebody who's 4-5, make a trade. So we'll see how that grade goes. Dusty, James Conner or Deontay Johnson, PPR, thanks. I think this week you got to lean towards Deontay Johnson, right? Pittsburgh plays Green Bay. Green Bay's not good. Deontay Johnson is clearly the favorite and the number one wide receiver option for Kenny Pickett. We saw the frustration in George Pickens last week. Deontay Johnson looks like he's kind of that dude again. So I would honestly stay with Deontay Johnson this week in PPR because you're going to get the full point every time he gets a catch, and you're looking at probably 7 to 9 targets. Probably going to catch at least 6 to 8 of those targets and have at least somewhere around, if he has that many targets and catches, he's going to have somewhere around 80 to 90 yards and a possibility of a touchdown. Green Bay's not good. What belief do you have in what you've seen this year that Green Bay's like, you know what, yeah. And we had a stat earlier, I was telling Quentin, since statistics have started and reaching out for 1933, that's the year they started keeping track of rushing and passing yards, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the only team in the history of the NFL to be outgained in the passing yardage and the rushing yardage and still have a winning record moving forward in the season. They're 5-3. They're a playoff team, and they've been outrushed and outpassed in every single game this year. Who do I start for my two receiver spots? Olave, Adams, and Hollywood Brown, the first two you mentioned. Olave and Adams. You should never even have to ask me that question. I know that sounds a little sarcastic. I'm not trying to be 816, but if you have Chris Olave and you have Devontae Adams, don't even think about it. And I know it's been frustrating for Devontae Adams because he's been, you know, up and down, and it's been a rough way in Las Vegas. But again, you're riding that high that Devontae Adams and Aiden O'Connell are going to be the guy. And what do I always say about backup quarterbacks? They always seem to target their wide receiver one. Again, fantasy football is volume, 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 right? I've not promised you that Aiden O'Connell is going to be able to get the ball in the hands of Devontae Adams, but he's going to throw it towards Devontae Adams, and Devontae Adams is good enough to where if he gets a chance, he can make something out of it. Gus Edwards or Najee Harris? Gus Edwards, man. 6 touchdowns in 3 weeks for the 6-2-0 that asked that question. I don't like the Pittsburgh Steelers backfield. I know I just talked about how bad the Green Bay Packers are. Now they've kind of been low-key one of the worst teams in the NFL this season. I don't believe in Jordan Love. I don't believe in the Green Bay Packers at all. But the one thing I don't like is I don't like that Warren Najee Harris type of thing, because it seems like every time you play Najee Harris, Warren gets in there and he's their pass-catching back. I don't see Pittsburgh trailing in this game. I see them using Najee Harris, but maybe not for an effective way. Gus Edwards, though, man, that guy's been balling the last 3 weeks. Like I said, 6 touchdowns. They're going to keep riding the Gus bus. And when you play a team that has a really, really good defensive line like the Cleveland Browns, what are you going to do to keep them guessing? You're going to run the ball. When Myles Garrett's coming off the edge trying to kill somebody, you run the ball with a guy like Gus Edwards to kind of soften that defensive lineup, which might seem impossible, but I still like Gus Edwards. Let's do this anyway. Edwards, Henry, Najee, pick 2. Again, fantasy football is about volume, 620. Same question as earlier, but I would say Edwards and Henry just because Henry's going to get volume. I get it. Tennessee's not a great team. They have Will Levis, so when you have a rookie quarterback on your team and you want to get him some confidence, you're going to run the ball to kind of soften the defense. Derrick Henry's still in the top 5 in rushing yards. Gus Edwards, like we said, 6 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. Dusty's tight end stream. Otten or Irv Smith? Otten project more, but Burrow my quarterback. Yeah, Otten probably over Smith. That's just me. That's what I would do. Joey Burrow, your quarterback. No T. Higgins. Jamar Chase a little banged up. Tyler Boyd an option as well for those of you that are streaming. Appreciate all the help and all the feedback today from the Fantasy Football Sunday show. Again, we'll do after hours here in a little bit. Any question for you, Quentin? You got any fantasy football things going on today? You trust your team? How's your team doing this year? You doing okay?
I've got one team that's at 500 and another team that's one above 500. So okay. Not great, but I'm not losing. So
still got a chance to make some noise.
Yeah, there you go. I'm in a 10 team league and a 12 team league.
There you go. That's Quentin of Dusty Likens. We're going to wrap this thing up, but when we come back on the other side, we get to do after hours, 2 hours of it. We get to talk about some local college football. We can talk about a bye week. We talk about some coaches of the year options and why the league is so frustrating. Plus, there's a coach getting fired in college. There's a coach's name that I think could be up for grabs when it comes to this. That has been a Fantasy Football Sunday show. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Quentin on the other side. We do after hours.